This is Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. When Governor Phil Scott announced that Vermonters needed to isolate at home, he also closed all schools and childcare centers. While schools remained closed through the end of the school year and only expect to open up to students again in the fall, child care centers have been allowed and encouraged to resume operations. Scott made the announcement in a May 8th press conference.
All child care programs will be able to reopen by June 1st. To be clear, we are not requiring them to be open. But if they want to and can meet strict health and safety requirements, they can restart in June.
Child care centers had a few weeks to prepare for having children, and some opened their doors at the beginning of this month. Human Services Secretary Mike Smith said he was encouraged by how many were able to do just that.
I'm pleasantly surprised. We have 50% of child care centers and growing, opening up. We've had some bumps in the road. We've provided a lot of money, as I've said in previous press conferences, both during the shutdown to make sure that the infrastructure stayed in place, and $6 million for the restart as we're moving forward. And we're continuing to monitor, we're continuing to listen, we're continuing to see what needs to be done to bring that number up.
Some of that listening might have included an open letter sent to the governor by many child care staff members, directors, and parents before the resumption of care, saying they thought it was too soon. Now that we're a few weeks into the reopening of child care centers, how many are opening? That 50% was as of June 3rd, so what about now? And how many have closed their doors for good? How are those who work in this sector and families who send their children to care navigating the complications? That's what we're going to focus on today. And joining us first is Stephen Berbeco, Deputy Commissioner for the Vermont Department for Children and Families Child Development Division. He's with us to help answer any questions that you might have about rules and regulations and state financial help. And we're going to hear from child care directors and teachers throughout the hour as well. Stephen Berbeco, nice to talk with you. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Jane. It's good to be back.
So that was Mike Smith saying on June 3rd that 50% of child care centers had reopened on the June 1st opening date. Do you have a sense of how many of Vermont's child care operations are open as of today, June 17th?
Well, we believe that that number is still holding about 50% of the providers that were open pre-closure. And that would normally be open during the summer months. We are anticipating that number to rise to about 75% by the beginning of July.
So 50-ish now, but you think 75% by the end of this month?
That's right. We're looking at several different data sources and trying to triangulate with all this information to be able to make an accurate prediction.
And then what? I mean, is 75% possibly the highest it's going to go at all? We're hearing reports of lots of child care centers who have just said, I'm sorry, we have to close. We're not going to be able to reopen. Or we don't know if we'll be able to reopen ever.
Well, Jane, it's difficult to get a handle on what's going to happen next. And there are a few reasons for that. One is this time of the year in general sees a lot of movement in the area of licensing. There are a number of providers that decide it's the time for them to suspend or expire their license. And frankly, there are programs that are looking to open and open over the summer or just in time for the fall. So typically this time of the year, we see a lot of movement in terms of opening and closing of programs. And then we're also looking at what childcare programs are looking for in terms of what are their supply needs and what are their financial needs? What barriers do they have to opening if they're not already open? And what can we do to help them either through our licensing variants process or technical assistance or helping them connect with supplies so that they're ready to open their doors to children when they're ready.
And what are they telling you are the greatest impediments to reopening?
Well, we're hearing a lot of different things from a lot of different sources. And some of that information comes from direct conversations and some from messages that we get from individual providers and groups of providers. We also have strong partnerships with community groups that represent childcare programs like Let's Grow Kids and Building Bright Futures. And so we review all of this information to get a sense of what are the themes that emerge in these conversations. And frankly, we're hearing a mix. We're hearing some concerns about access to supplies, and we've made some good progress along those lines. We've heard some concerns about finances, and I'm really glad that we were able to get the Restart Stipend program up and running and checks out and in the hands of childcare programs so quickly. And we're also hearing about some other things happening that tangentially affect childcare programs. So for instance, access to childcare for school-aged children and how that can affect a family's choice whether to enroll a younger child in a summer program or keep all the children at home. There are lots of things happening at once, and we're trying to track it as best we can, and in the best case, make predictions and plan for that.
The state also, though, did get this open letter that I mentioned and other concerns and queries from child care providers saying they felt like it was too soon, that it wasn't safe for families and children, and that it wasn't safe for their staff. But in many cases, they felt squeezed because the stabilization grants were going to be ending. And so in order for them to be able to be financially sustainable at all, they were going to have to reopen and get the enrollment numbers back up and get the financial contributions from parents back to 100% in order to have the financial stability to survive. You know, how is the state addressing the health concerns that child care centers have been expressing and their inability to stay closed and stay financially sustainable?
Well, I'm glad you brought up that letter. And in fact, we've been receiving a lot of letters and phone calls and other communications from childcare programs and from families. And some of them are expressing the concerns that you mentioned. And some of them, frankly, are glad that we are reopening. Especially around the restart stipends, we received many messages from programs that were ecstatic that they now had funds that they needed when they needed them to purchase supplies and get ready for reopening by June 1st or as late as July 6th. It's really a lot of messages coming together and a lot of conversations happening. We've also been talking to groups of childcare programs on roundtable conversations and video conferencing, Zoom calls, listening actively to the concerns that they bring and trying to provide answers where we can. And where we can't within the Child Development Division, we have our partners and colleagues in the Vermont Department of Health who are committed to making sure that child care programs have the information that they need so that they can make good business decisions. They have.
But can you speak specifically to that concern about the child care providers who said, we don't think it's safe, but we also can't continue with these stabilization grants that allowed families to pay less than full tuition, but the state would fill in some of those gaps, who say, I don't feel like it's safe to reopen, but I also don't feel like I have any other choice if I want to survive.
I understand your question. And we've heard this from a number of child care program directors and teachers. And I have to say that I'm really glad that the Department of Health has set up a hotline for child care program staff and also families who have questions about the health care guidance. If you'd like, I'm happy to give that information to your producer off air.
Sure.
So that it's available to listeners. And this hotline is staffed by public health nurses who have intimate knowledge with the guidance and also very practical understanding of how to implement it. I've heard anecdotally in many instances that there have been child care programs staff who have contacted the public health nurses and through those one-on-one conversations and also through a number of webinars that they've been producing for several weeks now, they've conceptualized what reopening can look like in a way that makes sense for them and their children and their families. And I think that's a lot of what has contributed to our high rate of reopening already in June 1st. there certainly is a lot of concern in general across the state about the pandemic. And I feel that, I hear that professionally, and I certainly feel that personally as someone living in Vermont. And I think that through more conversation, especially conversation with public health nurses, I feel that a lot of those concerns can be either clarified or allayed. I think that's a way forward for us.
So if I can sort of crystallize what it sounds like you're saying is that in some cases, by getting some extra help from the state and guidance and in talking with directly with health officials, some child care centers have said, okay, this feels safer to me now. We can reopen. But I can also imagine the state saying something along the lines of, look, we can provide this stabilization grant for a certain amount of time, but we don't have unlimited funds, and we believe it's safe to reopen. Therefore, we are no longer providing these funds. I mean, is that a fair assessment of the state's position? I won't belabor it after this, but I feel like you're talking around my question and not actually answering it.
I'm sorry, Jane. The stabilization program and the essential persons essential program were developed really only to run for a limited time and to carry us through a closure period. And when the data and science indicate that it's a good time and safe for the state to look to open in many of its different areas, then the plan has always been to off-ramp those programs. The idea of stabilization is to help keep the infrastructure of childcare stable during closure. And then moving into the month of June, I'm really glad and grateful that we're able to provide additional financial support in the terms of the restart stipends.
Mm-hmm. Which is about $6 million, right?
Absolutely. And that is money that went out with a very simple application process and very quick turnaround. And so that child care programs that are looking to open in June or up to July 6th have the funds that they need to buy additional supplies, to bring on additional staff. And they make the choices for themselves about how to best make use of those funds, because certainly a smaller program has different needs as compared to a larger program.
We're talking right now with Stephen Brebeko, Deputy Commissioner for the Department for Children and Families Child Development Division, and we're looking at the reopening of childcare in the state of Vermont. We're going to be talking with lots of different people throughout the course of this hour. And if this is something that is impacting you professionally or your family, or maybe you're trying to make decisions for what's going to happen for you and your kids in the next couple of months, we'd love to hear your perspective. Our number is 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can send an email to vermontedition@vpr.org. Deputy Commissioner, we were talking a little bit about how there's about 50% of the child care centers that were in operation before the closure order are back in operation, and you expect that to be more like 75% around the beginning of July. What about enrollment? What are we seeing in terms of families deciding whether and how to send their children back to care? Do you have any overall statistics on that, or overall assessment based on even anecdotal evidence?
Well, anecdotally, we're hearing that programs have expressed concerns about lower enrollment, lower than usual enrollment. And we're still trying to figure out what's behind that. I feel there are several contributing factors. One is, as I mentioned before, possible issues with school-age children and being able to find appropriate programs for them, and families making the decision to keep all the children at home based on the availability of programs for school-age children. Other issues may be financial, certainly coming out of a closure period that hit a lot of us really hard economically. I bet that there are some families that are making that choice based on what income they have and what savings they have available. And I'm sure there are also some families that are concerned about safety, just as we all are across the state and across the nation, and are looking for, looking to see what happens next. Again, I really hope that the conversations that we're having, like this one right now, and that we're having one-on-one with families and through webinars, I hope that that helps to allay their fears and give a really a clear, realistic view of what's happening in Vermont and where we are as a state in terms of this pandemic response.
You mentioned the elementary age children at home maybe not having care right now. And Melissa wrote in to talk about that, saying that from Melissa's perspective, quote, elementary age children seem to have been forgotten about now that school is ending. It's safe to say camp is canceled this year. Even the public schools are having remote camp, which is a sweet gesture, but just a gesture. So even if your daycare facility is open for your 3-year-old, your 9-year-old still lacks care. Parents are really struggling to hold jobs, care for children, and maintain a home. Many are being forced to take a leave from work, pay cuts, et cetera. It's really rough out there for parents and families. And Julie in Shelburne has a question that you might be able to answer, Deputy Commissioners. She writes, I am the executive director at a child care and pre-kindergarten program in Shelburne. We reopened May 26th for essential families and June 1st for all families. My main concern surrounding reopening is that our students with special needs are not receiving the appropriate support that's critical to their development. When will our partners from Vermont Family Network, Children's Integrated Services, Howard Center, and Private Practice be allowed to re-enter child care centers to continue their important work with young children? What attempts are being made to ensure a continuation of special education services, knowing that telehealth or distance learning is not really viable for infants, toddlers, and many preschoolers in early education? Do you have any guidance for Julie?
Well, sure. It sounds like Julie has, I guess, two different questions, and I hope I can answer at least one of them. I hear concerns about or questions about children's integrated services, and these are the early childhood prevention and intervention services that have been providing and have been continuing to provide throughout the closure period to families and to children. During the closure period, we provided those services through telehealth. And I agree that is not optimal in some cases, but we've certainly made every attempt that we can to keep the connections that we have with our families and with our children and to continue providing services. And now that we're coming out of the closure period, it's really up to the contractors that we work with, whether they are comfortable providing services in person or whether they prefer to continue through telehealth. And again, we are supporting our contractors in this choice so that they have information that they need and they can make the business decision that makes most sense for them. I also hear special education, and that makes me think about our partners at the Agency of Education and the support that they've been providing to schools, school districts, supervisory unions throughout the closure period and now going into the summer in special education services. Unfortunately, that's not my wheelhouse, and so I wouldn't be able to. I would be afraid of misspeaking in place of them when it comes to special education services.
Caroline wrote in saying, as a mother of two toddlers trying to assess the risk of sending my children back to their child care provider, I'd like to know how much economic factors contributed to the decision to open child care centers again. Is there a continued risk that has just been deemed, quote, worth it so parents can return to work? If parents are able to stay home with their children and keep them out of child care centers for now, is that advised as the best option for those who are able to do so? Now, I know that you are not in the health department, but what is the assessment of the guidance for parents, many of whom are saying, I don't know what the best approach is or, you know, whether this is an economic thing or a health thing and how to sort of figure out for my family and for my child care provider what the best approach is. What's your advice?
Well, I can certainly understand Caroline's thoughts on this. I'm a parent of two young children and my wife and I have had this conversation recently and more than once about child care for them. And what I can say is that the governor is advised by a very strong team. And in his public statements, he said many, many times that that his decisions are guided by data and science. The data that he's referring to is the data of the contagiousness or contagion rate across the state. And the science is what we know about the spread of viruses. And what I hear is referred to as epidemiology. And those two combined inform his decision on what is safe to do as a state and how quickly, how slowly to turn that spigot to reopen different parts of not just our economy, but also what we do socially and how we travel across the state and to other states. It's a very thoughtful, methodical process. As a Vermonter, I'm grateful for it. I'm glad that there is active conversation about what's right for all of us and for me and my family. And I'm really grateful that those decisions are being based on information from people who have medical degrees and PhDs in epidemiology. I certainly trust my doctor.
We're talking today with DCF Deputy Commissioner Stephen Berbeco. He's helping us understand state guidelines and guidance. And let's talk a little bit now with Nicole Walker. We checked in with Nicole several weeks ago. She's the director of Appletree Learning Centers in Stowe, and we were talking about how her center was providing care to a few children of essential workers. So we thought we'd check back in now about reopening to a broader group of kids and families. Hi, Nicole. Nice to talk with you again.
Hi.
So you had, I think, about 15 children in your care during the closure period when you were open to the children of essential workers, but I think you normally have something like 95 children, right?
Yes, we operate two different programs. We have an off-site after-school program which houses 26 per day, and then we have our center that houses infants all the way through school age, and that program has 95. And during the essential care piece, we started with about 15 per day, and we made our way up to about 22 at the very end.
And what about now? How many have re-enrolled or continued their enrollment? Where are you?
We're actually in a very fortunate situation. We lost 17 students altogether, and we have actually to date enrolled and fulfilled those spaces. So we are at capacity. Not every day is full, but we weren't full at 100% prior to COVID. So if you looked at our numbers, back in February and then look at them now, numbers-wise, we're about the same as we were when it started.
Am I hearing like nap time music behind you?
Yes.
So you have some students, some young ones napping. How are you managing to do? I mean, I know that there's guidance around how to maintain social distance, and nap time is one of those where it's like one student's head needs to be near the other kid's feet. You know, how are you actually arranging that?
It's actually not as complicated as it sounds. They can be 6 feet apart or 3 feet apart. And then you also have to, if that's not feasible, then you have to have, one person's foot at the other person's head just so their faces aren't so close together. We're actually in a very fortunate circumstance where we have large classrooms, so we're able to space them out.
And are you able to do outdoor activities? I know that's one of the key areas that a lot of childcare centers are just trying to work on, getting everybody outside as much as possible.
We've actually switched to more of an outdoor curriculum this summer. Generally speaking, this time of year, we spend more time outside anyway, just because the summer months are so short and limited, and we have access right to the Stowe bike path right outside our door, so it's pretty amazing. So generally speaking, we're outdoors more this time of year, and now we've actually asked teachers to create more of an outdoor curriculum and try to plan most of their activities and such outside just to enjoy the fresh air and not have people in the classroom as often.
So, Nicole, you said you're in a very fortunate position because you have been able to open back up at mm-hmm. capacity and fill the slots for families that decided to leave. So do you think that you have stability, financial stability moving forward? I mean, how do you feel looking at the future now?
I do feel pretty confident in where we're at. We are still waiting for one payment from the state. All other payments have been made. So we're just waiting for, one larger amount, which will definitely be helpful. But we have received a startup grant, and we utilize those funds to hire an additional teacher to actually solely be responsible for cleaning and sanitizing toys in the building as a whole, and then other cleaning supplies and such that we needed. And then, you know, a bunch of other things we had to purchase. But I feel like that gave us a good boost to help us through the summer and provide us with all of the supplies that we needed that will carry us through the rest of the school year. So I feel pretty confident that we're in a really good space. And once that final payment comes in, I'll feel a little bit better about that.
Before I let you go, Nicole, how are you addressing any fears or concerns or health vulnerabilities that your staff has?
Honestly, it's a lot of communication. We're holding staff meetings via Zoom, and we talk to the staff in regards to how they're feeling and, you know, what's working, what's not working. We connect with the parents every week via a newsletter and just keep them up to date on the state guidance and the Vermont Department of Health's information. And I think it's all about keeping families and staff informed and giving them current and updated information and just do the best that you can to follow that guidance and those regulations. And I think that's helping. Also, just seeing the directors in the front, the owner of Apple Tree and myself are out front every day greeting the bulk of the parents that come in the lobby, and we're there to address any concerns or questions they might have. I also think that that's been helpful to have our faces be present all of the time.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to hear about. That's Nicole Walker, director of Apple Tree Learning Centers in Stowe, which has reopened and, in fact, was open to the children of essential workers even during the shutdown order. Nicole, thanks for talking with us and good luck in the future.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to Vicki now, who's calling in from Montpelier. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What's your perspective? How do you come into this conversation?
Well, I am. We have an early childhood center here in Montpelier, and I was listening to your show, and Stephen had said earlier on the show that they're trying to figure out what's behind low enrollment. My question is, why do you want us to be at full enrollment right now? Why are we expected to be at 100% capacity and not financially supported to operate at lower enrollment? It just doesn't feel like a good idea.
Well, Vicki, talk a little bit more about that, and then we'll get Stephen Brubeco's perspective. But why do you not want to be at full capacity?
Well, for example, the infant ratio under the Child Development Division's child care licensing regulations is one adult to four infants. We would be put in an impossible situation at full enrollment in a baby room and unable to actually meet the strict health and safety guidelines. One adult to four infants, and we're changing smocks, we're changing our gloves. When we're diapering, we're wearing goggles. So if one person is diapering, that means the other person would be with seven children, because our infant room has eight children at capacity and two adults because it's one to four. It's not possible. Increasing our enrollment would put our teachers at even more risk when most of them don't even have health insurance.
And so, Vicki, what are you doing right now?
We're at about half of our capacity, and we did get the Restart grant. So we're operating the best that we can right now. We have some families who, fortunately, are still paying tuition and have not yet actually physically returned to childcare. So our numbers are lower. Our teacher numbers are the same, so we're able to make it work. I don't know how we're going to make that work past August.
And is that you can't make it work because financially you can't support the center at a lower enrollment rate?
Exactly. We depend on those tuition dollars to keep us going and to pay for our teachers. So we would have to increase our enrollment, you know, eventually. But right now it just doesn't feel safe.
Yeah, increase enrollment or increase tuition fees. So, Stephen Brubeco, what about Vicki's points there?
Well, Vicki, I'm glad that you brought up that question. And I want to clarify that we don't want you at full enrollment if you don't want to be at full enrollment. We want childcare programs to make the best choice for each program, depending on your business needs, depending on your children, depending on your staff and your families. And we recognize that that choice can be and oftentimes is different from program to program. And that's why we have licensing staff that reach out one-on-one to help with technical assistance and questions that you have about what's the best choice and how do you get from where you are to that best choice, depending on your program. I'm glad that you are open. I'm glad that you are open to families and that you have children. And I'm sure that that is exciting. And also, it's a lot of things that are new, a lot of things that are challenging. And frankly, this was a field that had a whole lot of challenges before closure. That's no secret that child care programs are known to have razor-thin margins. If anything, this closure period has exacerbated a lot of the barriers to child care and a lot of the issues and challenges that we've all been trying to tackle 4 months ago, 5 months ago, before closure. And now, as we're coming out, this place that we're at right now, it doesn't feel like a destination. It feels like a path. It feels like this is a place that we are all moving through towards the end of the summer, towards the fall, as we all learn more through this process, as we all communicate with each other and share the successes and share the challenges and make further changes, both on the program side and also on the state side.
But I think what Vicky's particular question was if we could be at 50 or 75% enrollment and that works for our families, that's what we'd like to do, but we can't afford to do that and we're not getting state funding to be allowed to do that. But to be at 100% capacity, we don't see how we could fit with the state guidelines. So I think that the question, you know, the sort of direct question in that is, why isn't there more state funding to allow programs to be open at a lower capacity and still be financially sustainable for now, at least in the short term?
Well, Jane, this is certainly something that we are watching very carefully. And we're listening to programs like Vicky's program and the concerns that they raise. And again, this is a path that we're on. As we gather more information, we'll know more about what's happening in the field. We'll know more about what the financial challenges are, and we'll be able to recommend changes going into later in the summer and into the fall to help support childcare across the state.
Let's go to Mary, who's calling in from Burlington. Hi, Mary. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
So I am a childcare worker, and I actually, when we were getting ready to open back up, I wound up leaving my job. And it's not about that specific childcare center, but that one as well. There's just no way to do what they're asking of us and for it to be safe. I mean, it's just impossible. And I think regulators are not childcare workers, and it's different when you're hands-on.
Yeah. So, Mary, what from your perspective, working in this field or previously working in this field, what would work? I mean, in some ways, it's an impossible situation for everybody. You know, parents are being asked to go back to work and trying to figure out if it's safe for their children to return to care. Childcare directors are trying to ensure the stability of their center and figure out how to make sure their staff still has a paycheck while also trying to keep everybody safe. And people like you who work in this field are trying to figure out, you know, what is it worth? How do I do it? Am I safe? How do I support the families and the kids that I care about while also protecting myself? I mean, do you see a clear path, or is this just such an impossible situation no matter what, Mary?
I mean, I would go back to capacity and state aid. I mean, numbers need to be lower, and the aid needs to be there to make that, you know, possible.
Yeah. Mary, I really appreciate you sharing your perspective. Thank you for that. And let's talk now with Dawn Irwin. Dawn is the director and a licensed teacher at Growing with Wonder, which is a new Birth to Five program in Essex. It was supposed to open in April, but couldn't for obvious reasons, now planning to begin operations in July. Dawn, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
So what timing, you know, planning to open in April and then here comes the shutdown order. Did you have concerns that you might not be able to start up at all?
Absolutely. I wasn't able to access any of the funds that were allocated for the CARES Act because of the timing of when my lease started for the space and all of that stuff. So I was pretty scared moving forward with that. I did, however, qualify for the restart stipend, which is going to help make sure that I can pay my educators for at least a month. So that's very good. And so we're moving forward and we're getting the ball rolling, and we're all really excited to open our doors July 1st.
Now, Nicole Walker was telling us that at Appletree Learning Center, some families dropped out, but that she was able to fill the open spots with other families. Certainly, capacity in the system has been a huge issue for a long time in Vermont, but some families are declining to have their children in care at all right now, or can't because they have other kids who are home, or can't because they don't have the finances. So how are you doing with enrollment? What does the picture look like for you?
Yeah, so currently I have 7 families that are enrolled. I did have more than that. And unfortunately, some have decided not to start with us due to the pandemic. And so, you know, I have just barely enough families enrolled right now to kind of keep the lights on. However, I'm very concerned about what it's going to look like, you know, 2-3 months from now if families still aren't ready to enroll their children in programs.
So what does the future look like for you? How do you envision a path forward?
You know, I'm doing as much advocacy work as I possibly can. I was actually on a roundtable discussion webinar with Steve Berbeco and some legislators on Saturday, just talking about the challenges that the field is facing and what we might be able to do moving forward, kind of big picture ideas. And really just we're trying to get families who are thinking about enrolling, giving them virtual tours as we can, showing them the policies and procedures that we've written, trying to, you know, mitigate the spread of any virus as much as possible, and really just hoping that as we move through the months, more and more families will feel comfortable coming back into care so that we can make sure that we're able to keep our doors open.
You think you can stay open?
I hope so.
get open and stay open, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I really, that's the big ticket question, right?
Yeah.
You know, we have enough right now to be open. And I really hope that we can continue moving forward and enrollment keeps slowly increasing. And as it increases, I'll feel much, much better about my financial stability. I can tell you right now, though, if there isn't more funding given out to programs through the state, a lot of programs, including my own, probably won't make it. And that's including in-home providers and center-based programs. Enrollment gaps are hitting all programs really hard right now. I think it's great that Appletree hasn't really had that issue. And I hope more programs end up having success stories like theirs, but that is not what I'm hearing on the ground.
Even though you operate in an area where there have been a couple of big and publicized closures of other childcare centers, even just leading up to the pandemic, and still you're seeing not full enrollment.
Yeah, I hear of programs, in-home programs and center-based programs that are either losing enrollment or have not had families return yet every day. And I'm also hearing of programs that are closing every single day. I think it's an issue that hasn't really been brought to the public's attention yet. And I worry that this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Oof. I'm going to let that sit there and say goodbye to you, Dawn. Thank you very much for talking with us and good luck with your opening. And I hope that you are able to find that stability and sustainability.
Thank you so much.
Dawn Irwin is the director and a licensed teacher at Growing with Wonder in Essex, which is now scheduled to open its doors for the first time at the beginning of July. And let's turn as well now to another perspective from Isla Bristol. Isla is a preschool teacher at Turtle Island Children's Center in Montpelier. Turtle Island reopened for care last Tuesday. Hi, Isla. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, nice to talk with you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, so I'm curious from the teacher perspective, just how things are going so far, how you're dealing with wearing masks, if the kids that are in your care are wearing masks or not wearing masks, and you know how you're sort of managing operations, which are so different now than they were in January, February.
Yes, well, we are a nature-based center already, and so we were all from the beginning and long before the pandemic hit, we incorporated a lot of nature and a lot of outdoor time into our days, but we have had to ramp that up so high in our efforts to keep ourselves and the children safe and to keep distanced, which in a childcare setting is basically impossible, and to be in spaces with lots of open airflow. So now we explore the trails that we're fortunate enough to have around our center. And before this call, I had gotten back from our longest, biggest walk yet with the preschoolers that I work with. So it's been an adjustment. And with the biggest, longest walk that we had today, there were definitely some kids that were struggling. Mm-hmm. We wear masks with them. All the teachers, all the staff wear masks with the children every day, and we encourage the older children to wear masks, but we're not requiring it of them. It does not feel developmentally appropriate. Just because they can pull it on and off themselves and not suck on it doesn't mean that it's appropriate. So we wear masks with them, and that makes the hikes even more difficult. And it's hard when we need to comfort a child and they can't see our whole face. It's a lot that we feel like we're constantly scrambling with.
We got a note from Sarah, who it sounds like might be a teacher as well. Sarah says, the impact of the new regulations and cleaning expectations is falling on the shoulders of teachers. Because we can no longer combine groups of children, teachers are needing to work longer days. We already struggled to maintain a solid workforce in early childhood. I'm afraid these expectations, without any financial support from the state to pay our teachers more, will only cause more turnover. Does that seem like a fear that you share, Isla?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like this pandemic for everybody has brought various different things to light that we might not have thought about before. The difference here is that people in childcare have known for so long and felt firsthand the effects of needing more funding that we're not currently getting, and also the lack of health care. Those things are just even more glaringly apparent at this time. So it's very scary. We anticipate turnover from the stress of this, from the stress of not having adequate health care, from the stress of not being paid enough. We personally made the choice at Turtle Island to shorten our days to try to leave as much extra time for cleaning as possible. But we need more financial support, and we also need health care that we all feel is actually accessible to us. Even if we are insured, a lot of the time we're not comfortable using that insurance because of ridiculous co-pays or deductibles.
Yeah, and that comment about needing to work longer days, you said that at your center you've shortened the time for care, and I imagine you also have staggered drop-off and pick-up times for families as well, because not everybody's supposed to congregate at the same time.
Yes, we have a whole system at the beginning and end of the day for how we communicate with each other to know who's dropping off, who's getting picked up, and when, and how that's going to happen. So staggered drop-offs, they take a big chunk of time, a lot of resources, all hands on deck.
What about enrollment at your center? Now, you're not a director, but what are you seeing in terms of the level of enrollment for families?
It's definitely dropped significantly. We're trying to, before we actually reopened, we were trying to plan ahead for our numbers, and it was very hard to make those plans because a lot of parents just didn't know. A lot of them feel that they want to send their children back. They would like to, but they can't because they feel that it's not safe, or they don't have the finances, or they have other children at home, or they have people who have pre-existing health conditions at home, or elderly people that they would like to still visit. So many factors have prevented so many families from feeling comfortable sending their children back. I mean, we have two preschool classes here. I work with both of them. And before the pandemic, we were at capacity with both of those classes. We had hit full enrollment, which was a tremendous feat. And then this hit. And when we came back, in one of the classes, which typically has probably around 16, 17 children a day. On the first day back, there was only one. And
wow.
As we've gone through, they've climbed to three.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's Isla Bristol. Isla's a preschool teacher at Turtle Island Children's Center in Montpelier. Isla, thank you for sharing your perspective. I appreciate hearing it.
My pleasure. Our voices need to be amplified, so thank you for providing a platform.
Yeah, well, thank you for adding yours. So, Stephen, Rebecca, you've been hearing all of this, and you know, what seems to be clear from the voices that we're hearing today, at least, is, as you've pointed out, there was a crisis in childcare before, and certainly in that funding piece of it, that it didn't feel like a sustainable or sustainably funded system on the backs of parents and childhood educators. How do we fix it now, given the increased pressures that the pandemic has exposed?
I'm glad that you included so many diverse voices in this hour, and I was glad also to hear Isla's.
Oh, looks like we lost Stephen's. Oh, you're back. You're back. So, Stephen, we got about 30 seconds. Okay. I'm sorry, your line dropped out, but go for it.
Sure. I agree with Isla. This is, in many ways, the longest, biggest walk that we've been on as child care infrastructure as an industry, as a partnership. It has a lot of stress. And in many ways, I think we're all feeling what Mary, the previous caller, was saying about there's no way to do this. But at the same time, I get a real sense of optimism from seeing Don opening up a new program in Essex, and also knowing about the developmental health of kids and the mental health of the working adults that comes out of reopening. So I feel that we are coming through a very difficult transition period, and I'm excited to continue these conversations, continue learning from each other, and continue finding a way forward across the state and across programs.
That's Stephen Brebeko, Deputy Commissioner for the Department for Children and Families in the Child Development Division. Stephen, thank you very much for talking with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jane.